And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them. They were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find the baby wrapped in cloth and lying in a manger." Suddenly a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men of whom his favor, on whom his favor rests." When the angels had left them and gone into the heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go to Bethlehem and see the thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off, and they found Mary, Joseph, and the baby, who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. As I think about this account, I want you to understand the nature of the power of God's gospel. And I want you to understand the Christmas message that leads to prayer and praise. And I want to focus on that first appointment that says, while they were keeping their eyes on the sheep, while they were living in the fields, while they were doing the business of life, while they were busy repeating what they had done the night before and the night before that, all of that kind of focus was taking place. All what we would call normal life. All the things that you're busy with, depending upon the season, all the things that occupy your time. And it's into that setting and into that situation that we begin to understand that God invades. In other words, the situation is my life is as it has always been. My life is going along. My life is either good or it's difficult. It's work, it's challenging, it's something nice or something not so nice. But I'm in this pattern. And in that pattern, the purposes of God step in. And what I want us to be alert to tonight is that it is God who initiates the stepping in. It is God who brings about that change that he longs for in the heart of his people. The message of the gospel is that I don't even have the will to initiate. And in that lack of will, in the focus and the busyness and the distractions of my life, the Holy Spirit works in my life situation and breaks into my world very similarly to the way these angels broke into the shepherds' lives. Now, he broke into their lives with a very specific purpose, with a very specific goal in mind. And they at first did not understand. And so I'm going to ask you to join me in prayer as we think about these thoughts. Heavenly Father, we need the touch of your heavenly angels, the crying out of the Gabriel and the announcement that Christ is born, that whispering that this is your moment, my child. I see your circumstance, I see your situation, I see what you are doing. And it is my heart to come and step into your world, to bring my son into your world, to bring my light into your world, to bring a message of salvation and hope into your world. I desire and long to enter your realm, to be with you, to walk with you in the mundane difficulties and challenges of your life, and speak my will, my power into your life. And so I'm asking, Lord Jesus, that you would send your angels, your messenger, your messengers, your precious Holy Spirit, that we might, just like them, have that breakthrough into our hearts. Lord, let your angels speak to our hearts tonight. me join in the next verse of the next song. Important to understand in worship that it's God who brings the glory and we get to celebrate in it. It is not us who bring the glory to the Lord. It is heaven coming down into this setting called the church or a building or the heart, that the song that we sometimes sing about, my heart that's stable. And God brings the glory into circumstances of our lives. And it says it's shown round about them. It isn't just this singular, tiny little stream of glory entering into our hearts. It's this bathing. It's this being washed underneath the glory of the Lord. It's receiving the Shekinah presence of God. It is being humbled as we look all around us, and the glory is just overflowing in all directions. Because as God sends his angels into this world, he brings his glory down. Then he speaks to them. This becomes critically important. He says to them, do not be afraid. One of the saddest things about the glory of God is that sometimes people get afraid of it. Sometimes they don't understand it. Sometimes the word here is terrified. They're shocked. They don't know what to do. They don't know how to respond. And the thing that struck me about that is as God enters our life or brings challenge or the glory of his presence into our life, sometimes we don't understand what's happening. We have to have that word of revelation, that word of truth that God brings with his glory. And then he speaks these words out to them. Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy. And he announces, for all people. The joy of Christmas is not ours to keep, nor have we earned it, nor have we deserved it, but God invaded your world through however he spoke to you, however the Holy Spirit got his word and enlivened it in your heart, whatever your angel moment, if you want to speak of that in terms of the shepherd, where the glory of the Lord shone around about you, and you understood that moment is not for you alone. That moment is for all people. That moment is something that God wants to be presenting to the whole world. And then he speaks that today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you, the Christ, the Lord. And this will be the sign to you. You'll find that baby wrapped in clothing or a swaddling cloth lying in the manger. As we understand the flavor of that now, as we sing the second verse, I want you to listen to it. I want you to focus on what God is presenting to us as he speaks to you in my heart through this message of the shepherds. Here we go.
Shepherds in the fields abiding, watching. Shines the air.
now residing. Isn't it fascinating how some hymn writers can in a single line catch a whole thought and bring it into that understanding that Emmanuel, God with us. I think so many times the message of the songs that we sometimes sing, we lose a little bit. And in so many of the Christmas songs, there's so many powerful messages. And the message here is God with us now resides. And that message of God has come down to dwell in his people is part of that focus. Now the story doesn't stop there. The glory of the Lord comes down. The revelation is given to the shepherds. And then there is this attitude of response. Probably the most critical thing. It's one thing to stand there in awe or stand there in terror and receive a revelation of God. It's like God speaking to your heart and saying, pray for someone. It's God saying, speaking to your heart and saying, write a letter. My mom shared with me that she was told in the middle of the night, you're supposed to write a letter to this particular individual, a young man who's going through a divorce, and she kind of keeps track of him. And his mother's a good friend of my mom's. She goes, you know, Bruce, God woke me up. It was late in the night, early in the morning. She says, I didn't want to get up and write a letter. I said, I just didn't want to get up and write a letter. So I managed to fall back asleep. You know, Mom. Then she goes, the next morning, I got out of bed. I wasn't out of bed 5 minutes. Write the letter. Write the letter. Write the letter. Write the letter. And she said, guess what? I wrote the letter. And she goes, I don't even know what I said. I don't even know what I said. And I'm going, Mom, there's things you could probably say that out of all the people that could say it to him, maybe he'll receive it like a grandma, like someone who loves him, someone who's going to tell him the truth without anything to gain or lose, and tell him the things he needs to hear. See, response is so critically important. What makes the shepherds an ideal example to us is it says, so they hurried off when they found Mary and Joseph. And then it says, when they had seen him, they also continue with the response, they spread the word concerning him all around the world, or all around the community. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherd said to them. You see, it's the response. It's not just hearing the message of Christmas isn't just for us. It's hearing it in my heart and choosing to respond. It's looking at the dirtiest place in my life, in the lives of people around me, in the circumstances of my worst kid, in my worst class, my worst, most hurting, wretched student, and whispering to myself, I got a message for that kid. It's Christmas for him. And it's the message that God's revelation has come to your life too. And that God has found and seen his way clear to see value in who you are in the most wretched situation of your life and circumstance. And guess what? In that split second, I get to be a messenger, using it properly or improperly a little bit, an angel, a messenger of God, someone finally sharing what the Christmas message is all about. It's not all about what we see as being wretched in our lives. It's not all about the insight that Christians have about the end of the world. It's not all about all the things that are wrong in the culture and in people's lives. The message is, what is God bringing into the wretch of the circumstances of our life, lives of my students, lives of the people in your life, our community, our world, our government? When you understand the power of the Christmas message, then you understand finally the last step. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they heard and seen, just as it had been told to them. You see, you need the revelation. It's not just the impelling of the angels. You need the revelation to permeate your heart. That's why we're singing the song a little bit slower. It's that meditative response as we think about each of these things. And I want you to watch this particular phrase. Opening line on this next verse now, Tom, is sages, leave your contemplation. And stop thinking about it. Walk into that kid's life and love him. What's he saying to me? Stop using your brain and contemplating all the possibilities. Just do it. Right? Mom finally was so overpowered by the power of God just speaking to her heart. I gotta write the letter. So do you, so do I. Let's sing the song, let it minister to us. Watch the words very carefully.
Sages, leave your contemplations, brighter visions beam afar.
Awesomeness of the moment. I'm just basking in the friendliness, in the warmth, the smells, the sights, the sounds, and tastes of Christmas. And you call me out of contemplation. You call me to come. You call me to respond. You call me to proclaim. You call me to be the messenger into the world. You call me to react. Call me to live in the power of the Spirit. I'm praying, Lord, that we would be people who leave our contemplations behind and hear that invitation to come and worship. Let's sing this song, that last verse, one more time. Something that the shepherds did that was part of the empowering of their life. Not only was the presence of the angels there, but they went and saw. I can't diminish how important the experience of the presence of the power of God in our life really is. It creates an opportunity of testimony. It's where God finally touches my life and I whisper, like the shepherd, I did it. And you need those in your life. God doesn't say do it just because it entertains him or You need them because God says, I want to confirm it in you. I want you to be so secure in my love and my intimacy with you. I want to confirm in your heart that when I say, write a letter, write a letter. When I say, stand, stand. When I say, speak, you're just going to be overwhelmed with assurance that it really is my spirit speaking to your heart. You need that from me, and I want to give it to you. And so one of the things that the shepherds did, and it says it right there, everything they had heard and seen. It is not wrong to have and seek that experience of the power and presence of God. It is wrong to make up your own, but it's not wrong to be so in tune with the Word, so in tune with His Spirit, that when He wakes you up, when He moves you, you know it's Him talking to you. And you are just covered with the glory of the Lord shining round about you. Mom was really concerned. She goes, I'm not sure what I wrote. I whispered, Mom, if He woke you up, if He reminded you the next morning, He'll remember, He'll help you remember what you wrote, and it's just fine. And I know that He needed to hear every word you had for Him. You see, sometimes you're it. You're the angel messenger. It's on you the Shekinah glory of God is resting. And you're bringing it into the life of another man, another woman, another child. The first thing it changes, like I sensed in my heart, I look at them differently. You go to a stable, a barn. One of the first things you notice is smell. What's on the floor? How long ago did they clean it? Can you imagine coming to the stable, seeing the Messiah, and not thinking about any one of those things? My prayer is, dear God, help me never see the stench in somebody else. Help me never to see or experience the smell in somebody else. But help me to understand that it's your longing to be in the manger of their heart that you're wanting me to see and taste. I'd like to sing the next few verses or two verses of this song. It's a familiar one to you. I want us to picture in this moment the quietness of this. Then we're going to go to a little prayer and we're going to repeat the third verse a few times. So just the first two verses. Some version of that over myself, over my children. Oh Lord, unless you stand by the cradle, we never know and understand anything. I'm asking, Lord, that you would give us a heart for the children of the world, whether they're small, whether they're somebody else's son or daughter who we work with. They're your children, Lord. They're part of that family of those individuals you long to have in heaven eternally with you. They are part of what was called the darkness or the lost, and your call is to bring them into the light. We pray, Lord, for the children of the world, for all those around the world that are lost, for all those who know you, for all those who need to know you better, for all those who have lost parents, for all those who are orphaned, for all those who go to bed hungry tonight, for all those who are hurting with sickness and suffering and disease. Lord, we pray for the children of the world. We sing this last song, the last verse, please. Each time, this is our response to my prayer. Of all those children that were killed, murdered. All the hearts that are broken, the tears that have been shed, the hearts that will carry that wound to their grave. The mothers who will long to hold a child, and there'll be no child that night to hold. The presents under the tree that won't be opened. The Christmas program. All the special little things that were purchased or were made or prepared with such love and such tenderness and such love. So many families, so many brothers and sisters, so many mothers and fathers, so many aunts and uncles and cousins, friends and neighbors. Oh Lord, we pray. We pray for the children, for the families, for those who are left behind. We pray, Lord, in the middle of the pain and in the middle of the suffering, that somehow, by your merciful grace, you would bring Christmas into their heart, into the darkness of their night, into the loneliness of their evening, into the tears of this holiday season. You would bring your message back into their heart. I pray for salvation, Lord. I pray for life. I pray for hope. I pray for healing. I pray that in your mercy, you would guard and watch over each of those families, and that you would bless them and help them and wash over them, Lord Jesus. And I thank you for all that you want to do in that situation. We sing that verse again. Privilege of interceding for them, of training them, crying for them, carrying them even now as they're old. Thank you for the gift of grandchildren. Thank you for the miracle of life and life proceeding from life. Being able to live long enough to see those things. Thank you for the gift of other people and their children, Lord. To see the tender love of a new mother holding her child. The strength, the tenderness of a father holding his child for the first time. Of being able to sit in the good times and the painful times. In the times of the unknown. Of being able to learn to love other children as I love my own. To hear your words of how you love us as your children. Calling us co-heirs with Jesus Christ. Reminding us that we are truly adopted into your family as you have loved your son. You love us. Help us, Lord, to prepare our children. Help us, Lord, to pray over our children. Help us, Lord, to sing over our children. And then, Lord, I pray that those children would pray and sing over their own brothers and sisters. I pray that in the quietness of the night, they would whisper those prayers of protection and love, healing, and faith for their own mothers and fathers, for their own brothers and sisters, for the friends that they know at church or in other ways. I pray, Lord, that we would be people who have learned to long and love and lift up little children all around us, Lord. We sing again. Sometimes on the battlefield where a young man or even an older man lies dying. Many, many times, like a little child, they cry out for their mom. There's a part of us that really has a little child in it all the time. There's a part of us that just feels overwhelmed sometimes. A part of us that just loves being held. Part of us that likes to hear the whisper, "You're my child. You are more precious than you know." And when your knee is hurt, and your life is beaten down, and you live in uncertainty, how much you long to be held and whispered to like a small child, sitting on the lap of mom or dad, who's loving you unconditionally. I speak about your Heavenly Father, and I speak to your heart. The Father holds you and me, his children, and he whispers into our ear, "I am with you, child. Never would I leave you. Rest comfortably in me." Let's sing this song the last time, this verse, for ourselves this time. So longer afraid because the revelation had touched their heart. They had gone and seen and heard and seen, and they couldn't help but proclaim the call of God upon our heart. Go and see. Listen carefully. Go and proclaim. I pray, Father, that we would be people of prayer. We lift up Earl, who may be heading home tonight, and we pray that that would be true. We lift up Sarah and Marshall, some of the other members of our congregation, Steve Buckley and others, who are recovering from surgeries or longing for full and complete healing. We pray, Lord, that they would be reminded this Christmas that they're in your lap and you're holding on to them. You are Daddy, and you whisper into their ears of your love and tenderness. I pray, Lord, for those individuals that are challenged with jobs and finances and circumstances unpredictable. I pray for those who are weeping or crying for the lost son or daughter, cousin, nephew, niece. I pray, Lord, that keeping all things in right order, you would honor us and bless us this Christmas season with the right heart and the right attitude. Come down and bless your people, and let your power rest in our lives.